How are we? I asked Liesl to come up and do the reading this morning. John's done half of it already this morning, but we might hear it again, just to remind us. It's quite a, yeah, it's quite a difficult passage, but there you go.
It's taken from Romans 7, verse 14 to 25, and page 1134 in the Red Bibles. It says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man am I! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord."
Amen. Thanks, Liesl. That's great. So it's okay this morning. I'm not going to get you to jump around like I usually do for the family services. Especially when I have this mic on, I feel like jumping around the place, you know. You can do a handstand with this mic on and you'll still hear my voice. But anyway, I won't get you doing handstands. When John asked me to do a talk today, I thought I should talk about something I have experience of. So today's topic is struggling with sin. As we heard in the passage, it was talking about sin, and I suppose my introduction is the question, what is sin? And in Kids Club, a club I run during the year on Saturdays, we explain sin to the kids by using this target up here. I'm sure some of you are wondering. And a foam rocket launcher, which is this thing here. And we talk about, you know, the bullseye, the thing in the very center, the X in the very center, is God's perfect will for us. But we often miss the mark. Sometimes we just miss it, and sometimes we don't even hit the target. So I'm going to have a go here, and this might stick in your mind. If you remember nothing else, you remember that I'm a bad shot. So, not bad, not bad. There we go. So, who here struggles with sin? Is my question. Okay, some honest people. Great. The truth is that everybody does. Sometimes in church we have our Christian masks on and we pretend we're not struggling, even when we are. I'm not suggesting that during the meet and greet time, you know, that we spill out our souls to the person next to you, that you tell your whole life story. Like, you know, when I was 10, I nearly burnt down a housing estate. The fire brigade had to be called. I got into loads of trouble. You know, that's actually true. I think it's hilarious that I'm up here talking to you guys about sin. But small groups. Graham was talking about the weekend away there earlier, and we have a lot of small groups in the church that meet during the week, and they're a place to engage with each other about our struggle with sin. I believe that in small groups we get to know each other on a deeper level and can be accountable to each other and be real about our struggles with sin. In these groups, people support, encourage, and pray for each other. They do lots of other stuff as well, like eat and have fun. I encourage you that if you're not part of a small group at the moment, that you might have a chat with John or Graham afterwards and consider joining one. Struggling with sin is a part of being human. It's actually normal to struggle with sin. Even in the media today, we see the image being used of a person with an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other. It's the classic battle between good and evil. Paul, who wrote a lot of the New Testament, was very open about his struggle with sin, as we heard in the passage earlier at the start. I would love to be a theologian and expand on this passage for hours, but the truth is that I don't really understand it. And the main thing in this passage that comes out for me is that there's an internal struggle going on for Paul, and if that was the case with him, we can be sure that that's the case with each one of us. When we become Christians, we become new creations. The Holy Spirit comes and reveals the things that we need to change in our lives. He changes our desire. We now want to do good, I hope. We want to live for God, but yet he doesn't wave a magic wand. We still struggle. Paul says, I see another law at work within the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin. As we read God's word, we can see that there were many other people in the Bible who were clearly struggling with sin, yet God used them mightily, and that's very encouraging. In fact, in Paul's life, as he matured as a Christian, he became more and more aware of his struggles with sin. In his writings, he goes from saying that he is the least of apostles in 1 Corinthians 15:9 to saying that he is the worst of sinners in 1 Timothy 1:16. I've heard it described as this: the closer you get to the light, which is God, the more you see the dirt, your own sin. When I did an Alpha course years ago, I remember experiencing God's presence during the worship time. Afterwards, I was talking to one of the leaders on the course. I was very excited about this experience. And he said to me, you know, that he often asks himself, why would God choose me? At the time, I couldn't relate to that at all. I thought to myself, what? Of course me. Why wouldn't it be me? Why wouldn't God pick me? I just wasn't aware of my sinfulness. Now, sometimes on a daily basis, I'm wondering, why me? Why does God use me? It's good to be aware of our struggle with sin. For if we are aware, we can do something about it. I believe we need to realize that we have an enemy who wants to destroy us. It says in 1 Peter 5:8, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. A friend said to me recently, Satan's more like a cockroach than a lion. I love that imagery of Satan as a roaring cockroach. I'm sure he doesn't like that, but he's really sneaky. Satan's strategy is to make us feel guilty all the time because of our sin. This guilt is completely different than when God convicts us of our sin. I find that when God convicts me of something, it's very specific, something that I can change, something I know I need to change for my own good. But the guilt that comes from Satan is like this overarching feeling of, I'm so bad, and I can't do anything about it. How many people here have felt at some point, I'm such a bad Christian? Satan can make us feel so guilty that we give up even trying to live like God wants us to. We think, I'm going to fall anyway, so let's just give in. The further you go down that road, the further you get from God's plan for your life. Satan can make us feel so ashamed that we think we can't go to God and confess and start again with a clean slate. So this creates distance between us and God. Also, Satan can make us feel so guilty that we feel unqualified to do God's work. This way, guilt can prevent us from living out our calling as Christians. Like Satan would say to me, for example, "What do you think? Who do you think you are, preaching to kids on a Saturday? If I listened to that, it could stop me doing what God has called me to." This is what God says about our guilt. In Romans 8, verse 1, it says, "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Jesus has already dealt with our sin and guilt once and for all on the cross. It was wonderful singing the worship earlier on. It talked a lot about that. You know, the blood of Jesus, and that can wash us pure as snow. I think what is vitally important in our struggle with sin is what our perception of God is. Do we see him as a big angry dude waiting for us to slip up so he can punish us? Or do we see God as he really is, our Father whose love is unconditional, who is slow to anger, rich in love, and who's waiting with his arms open for us to run to him every day, no matter what we've done or not done? I believe if we really understood who God is and how loving he is, it would not be so hard to run to him even when we mess up. And we'd do it straight away rather than trying to deal with our sin on our own. The very image of Jesus on the cross with his arms wide open, I believe it's the most powerful image in the world. On the cross, Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they do not know what they do." Jesus also understands our struggle with sin. In Hebrews 4:15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. We have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." So we've talked about struggling with sin is a part of being human. That people God uses in the Bible clearly struggled with sin, and how Jesus understood, how Jesus understands our weakness and struggles. Yet we're not called to give in to sin and not do anything about it. God's intention for us is that we, not that we struggle with sin all the time, but that we overcome sin and draw closer to him each day. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it." So there is always a way out. There are things we can do to resist sin. And I'll mention just a few of those now. The first thing is to run away, or run the other way. At one point when I was experiencing temptation, I said to God, "Help, what will I do?" And he said, "Run away." There was an urgency to what he said. He said, "Run away from sin." Sometimes we find ourselves in a situation where we are tempted, and we stay in the situation and think to ourselves, "What can I do? The temptation is just too strong." And if we stay in the situation, we'll eventually give in. But if we remove ourselves, mentally or physically or both, from the situation, we can overcome the temptation. Even if we look foolish running away, God still calls us to do it. Just run the other way as fast as you can. Jesus gives us a very graphic example of this in Matthew 18:8. It says, "If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell." We are called to actively resist Satan and his schemes. It says in James 4:7, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But resisting takes effort and discipline. When we're feeling weak, the easiest thing is to give in. And that's why we need the spiritual disciplines, I believe. When we become Christians, we don't instantly become like Jesus. It takes work and effort. But hopefully over time, we will grow and mature and become more like him. In Romans 12:2, it says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." How does this happen? How are our minds renewed? I believe spiritual disciplines such as prayer, reading the scriptures, and solitude help us to renew our minds and help us to resist sin. And I've discovered that there are no shortcuts in being transformed. The world will tell you today, you can have free this, instant that, immediate, easy ways around everything. But that's not the case with the kingdom of God. Discipline is a word we don't like, especially us Irish. We tend to think rules are there to be broken. But being transformed to be more like Jesus is a lifelong process of daily spiritual disciplines. I'm briefly going to talk about three of those disciplines. First of which is prayer. In his book, Mentoring Leaders, there's a guy called Carson Pugh. He describes prayer as our declaration of dependence on God. Just want to say that again. Carson Pugh describes prayer as our declaration of dependence on God. We acknowledge in praying that we can't deal with our sin on our own. In prayer, we can confess our sin and receive forgiveness. Reading God's word is another important spiritual discipline. In order for our minds to be transformed, we need God's truth to fill our hearts and minds. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, and correcting in training and training in righteousness." When Jesus was tempted in the desert, he used scripture to overcome the temptations Satan put before him. We can take his example in this, but if we haven't been reading the scriptures and don't know them, we can't use them to overcome temptation. When we're struggling with sin and we're being tempted, we need to get closer to God, not further away. I believe the spiritual discipline of solitude can really help us in this. The discipline of solitude is becoming more and more difficult to practice in today's busy world, especially with responsibilities of family, work, and trying to cram everything in at the weekends. Yet it's really important for us to find time to be alone with God. Jesus regularly found time to be alone with his Father, to hear his voice. Even when everybody else thought he should be busy preaching and healing people. When I'm facing struggles and confusion, I can hear God's voice much clearer when I have times of solitude. One clear word from God in the midst of confusion and temptation brings light into the situation and helps me see the truth of the matter. In fact, I feel closest to God on my own on top of a mountain. For you, it might be different. If I'm being honest, I struggle with spiritual disciplines. I struggle with the everyday discipline of being a Christian. But those disciplines are vital if we want to overcome temptation. And before I finish, I want to talk about one more thing that can help us resist sin. Many times when I've asked God, "What do you want me to do?" He said over and over again, "Abide in me, abide in me, abide in me." I believe abiding in God means that we invite him into every part of our day. the struggles, the celebrations, the confusion, the joy. As we invite God into every part of our day, we are less likely to find ourselves in situations where we're tempted to sin. Just to sum up, it's important that we are aware that we will struggle with sin, and that we have an enemy, a sneaky roaring cockroach who wants to destroy us and make us feel guilty all the time. But we have a God who has dealt with sin on the cross, who doesn't condemn us. We need to learn to see him as he really is, a loving God who will never forsake us or reject us, no matter what we've done. But his intention for us is that we overcome sin, and he has given us ways to do this. We can be honest about our struggles and pray for each other in small groups. We need to run away from sin and the situations that tempt us. Declare our dependence on God in prayer and be transformed by his word and seek his truth in solitude. And every day, God is waiting with his arms wide open for us to run to him and experience his amazing, unconditional love. Amen. Yeah. Will I pray? Yeah. So just lift us up in prayer. Lift up what I've said. So Lord Jesus, I pray, if there's anybody struggling with sin here today, and we all do, at different times and to different degrees, I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would realize that there's no condemnation, that you love it when we come to you and we admit that we've messed up, and you love to remind us that Jesus did it all. He did it all on the cross. He beat sin, and he beat Satan. Lord, I pray that we could receive that word today, that there is no condemnation in you. But Lord, there are things we can do to grow closer and to become more like you each day. And I pray, Lord, that you'd encourage us in this. Give us the strength we need to grow closer and to mature, and to struggle less and less with sin each day. Help us to run to you, God. Run away from sin and run to you. To your open, wide open arms. And experience your unconditional love. Lord, if there was anything I pray this morning, it's that we would know your unconditional love. Lord, I pray that you'd reveal that more and more to us. Your powerful, amazing, unconditional love. Lord, help us to run to you each day, each morning that we wake up, that we'd run into your arms, receive forgiveness, and be transformed. Thank you, Lord. Amen.